NBA on NBC.
What is up, everybody? This is Jim Mylock, and you're listening to Pot of Faith, the podcast where we break down the careers of former athletes to decide whether or not they should get a call to the Hall. On today's podcast, we're talking about former Minnesota Twins catcher Joe Mauer, whether or not he should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And joining us in just a moment to discuss Mauer's career and Hall of Fame candidacy is USA Today sports reporter and Hall of Fame voter Steve Gardner. But before we bring Steve on, let's talk a little more about Joe Mauer. So Joe Mauer had a 15-year career in Major League Baseball, all with the Minnesota Twins. He played catcher for his first 10 seasons and then first base for his last five. But we all think of Joe Mauer at the catcher position, and that's really where he earned all of his accolades that have him in discussion for, you know, the Hall of Fame. He was the 2009 AL MVP, where he put up one of the best seasons ever by a catcher in baseball history. Batted 365 that year, which is the highest batting average ever by a catcher in MLB history. He was a six-time All-Star, a five-time Silver Slugger, a three-time Gold Glover. In addition to that 365 batting average when he won the batting title with that MVP, he also won two more batting titles. So three AL batting titles during his career. He is still the only catcher ever to win an AL batting title. He also led the AL in on-base percentage two different times and led the AL in caught stealing percentage, so throwing out runners, twice. So he had a strong arm behind the plate. He had a 55.2 career WAR. He racked up 2,123 career hits, 143 homers, 923 RBIs, and a .306 career batting average with a .124 OPS plus. Also carried a .388 on-base percentage for his career. Now at catcher, he had a .995 fielding percentage for his career. That's ninth all-time in MLB history. And then after he shifted to first base, he had a .996 fielding percentage, which is sixth all-time. So top 10 in two different positions for his career. So great defensively across the board. And I talked about he's the only catcher in AL history to ever win the batting title. It's only been won by three other players. Ernie Lombardi won two batting titles in 1938 and 1942. Buster Posey won a batting title in 2012. And a guy by the name of Bubbles Hargrave won a batting title in 1926. That's the only catcher. So seven total batting titles have ever been won by a catcher. Joe Mauer won three of those seven. So we have a great podcast today for you. Steve and I cover everything when it comes to Joe Mauer, the length of his career, his switch from catcher to first base, his peak seasons, what his batting numbers mean, how he played defensively. We cover it all. We have a great pod for you. Steve's always a great guest. He's also part of the Five Timers Club now, which is a big deal. But I hope you all enjoyed the show. We are in the heart of Hall of Fame voting season for baseball, and Steve does have a ballot. So with the quick facts on Joe Mauer out of the way, let's bring on Steve. All right, so I'd like to welcome back to the podcast today, USA Today sports reporter and Hall of Fame voter, Steve Gardner. Steve, how you doing today? Welcome back to the pod.
Doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me. Always look forward to these conversations every year.
Yeah, so this is our fourth. We were just talking about this before we started recording. This is your fourth consecutive year coming on the podcast. We've had you on every year. You've had a ballot going back to 4 years ago, which is kind of hard to believe. And this is actually your fifth time overall on the podcast, because 1 year we snuck you on twice. So you're actually a part of the Five Timers Club now, which I think there's four or five members of that. I gotta think about that, and I gotta figure out some kind of hat or something I can send around to the Five Timers. But you are now officially a Five Timer, so welcome back on the podcast. And Steve, today we have, I think, a great topic to discuss, and that is the Hall of Fame candidacy of former Minnesota Twins catcher and first baseman Joe Mauer, who is on the ballot this year, the 2024 ballot, for the very first time in his time since he retired. He retired just you know, several years ago. This is his first time on the ballot, and I wouldn't say he's the headliner. I think Beltre is definitely the headliner for this ballot, but he's one of those big names, along with, I would say, Chase Utley, that has been added to the ballot for this year. And I think this is a very, definitely don't want to say controversial, but I think people have very strong opinions on should Joe Maurer be in or not. And that's who we're going to be discussing today. So Steve, again, this is your fourth consecutive year on the pod. And as I was joking before, we do not change the format here for better or worse. But the first thing I always ask at the beginning to kind of start us off here, you know, when you hear the name Joe Maurer or that name comes up in conversation, what's the first thing that's coming to mind?
I'll tell you, the first thing that comes to mind for me, and I may be dating myself a little bit, but I remember when Joe Maurer was USA Today's High School Player of the Year in both baseball and football. And the question was, you know, what was he going to do? I think he was like Florida State was recruiting him to be a quarterback. And, you know, he was a great baseball player as well at Durham Creighton Hall High School in the Twin Cities area. So I think the fact that Minnesota drafted him and he could stay at home, be the hometown guy. And essentially, you know, he was able to finish his career as a member of the Minnesota Twins and be, you know, just the definition of hometown kid does well, and was there in the Twin Cities area. I think that's an astounding thing and a great thing for him. So I associate him with Minnesota, St. Paul, Minneapolis, and what a great athlete he was. And beyond that, as a major league player, somebody who was a great hitter, you know, and he won three batting titles and he didn't strike out a whole lot. So I think Joe Maurer was, you know, certainly one of the best players at the position of catcher. And I think what we're going to try and figure out is, you know, was he good enough for a long enough period of time to be one of the all-time greats? And, you know, I think certainly, well, I don't know, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this, but he maybe didn't have unanimous support among Twins fans. So maybe we can delve into that a little bit later.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. And to your point, like, yes, this, you know, when Joe Maurer, when he was drafted in 2001, I was 11 years old. And this was the first, you know, the NFL draft, of course, is a, you know, a 3-day production that gets talked about for months in advance. Mock drafts are going around right after the draft. And the NBA draft's a huge deal, too. And mock drafts float around for the year. You watch college basketball. You know, a lot of the people. Baseball draft, though, they're trying to make it a bigger deal, and I think they're doing a good job, but it's still not the same. There's high school players, you unless you're really deep into it, you haven't heard of. People don't watch college baseball like they watch college football and basketball. So I remember when Joe Maurer was coming on, he went first overall, and maybe it was because my Cubs had the second pick, but I was very well aware of who he was coming out. And again, this is 2001. This is early internet. Nowadays, I think we'd know probably more about him, but I just remember that this is this catcher, a high school catcher, who's going to be the next best thing. He's a Minnesota guy going to the Twins. And it was this great story. And as you said, they talked about him going to play quarterback at Florida State, or he was also an all-state basketball player. He was just, again, kind of owned everything he did. He was good at everything, and he was going to be this big deal. And sure enough, he comes up through, you know, the system and gets to the Twins. And he's one of the better players, if not the best player in my lifetime, to don a Minnesota Twins jersey. Because, you know, Kirby Puckett was a little before me, and Joe Maurer, I mean, I'm 34 years old now, Steve. Joe Maurer, to me, is really the best player to wear a Twins jersey in my life. And even though it's funny, right, like, and we'll talk about this, like, Joe Maurer relative to a lot of players in baseball had a shorter career, right? He played 10 years at catcher, 5 years at first base, and retired at 35. And we go, okay, he had a short career, so his counting numbers weren't that high and all this stuff. But when you look at in a Twins uniform, if you're counting just Minnesota Twins, not counting Washington Senators when they moved there in 61, He has played the most games in a Minnesota Twins jersey out of anyone else in the last 60 or so years since they've moved to Minnesota. So, yes, career-wise, not the longest career, but in a Twins jersey, he wore that more times than anyone else in Twins history, which I think surprised me, but right. Maybe it shouldn't. Because when I think of a Twin, I think of players like Kirby Puckett. I think of Rod Carew. I think of Harmon Kilbrew. And I think of Joe Mauer. And if they were to create, you know, I've only been to Minneapolis a few times. I don't believe there's many mountain ranges out there, but if they were to create, you know, on a little hill there,
an ice sculpture,
a Rushmore ice sculpture. I think Joe Mauer has a good shot, unless you want to throw a pitcher on there. I think a good shot of being on that Minnesota Twins Rushmore along with Puckett, Kilbrew, and Carew. I mean, what do you think? Is he a top 4 or 5 guy in that franchise history, at least since they made it to Minnesota, at least in your eyes, Steve?
Yeah, I think so. And you might include Kent Herbeck, I guess, in that group as well. Beloved by the fans there. But yeah, I mean, Joe Mauer was so good and so identifiable with that franchise for his entire career. And, you know, was one of the best catchers for that 10-year period. I mean, a decade of being one of the best catchers in the game, that's a pretty strong accomplishment. And then when you're spending your entire career with one franchise, again, you know, if you talk about who's the face of the Minnesota Twins, you know, it might be Kirby Puckett, it might be Joe Mauer, but I think it's got to be one of those two. And the evidence with the games played in a Twins uniform is pretty strong on Mauer's side of things.
So, Steve, I want to move to our next segment here. We call this That Memorable Moment. And what we try to do here, we're very liberal here as always, but it can be a specific at bat or play. It could be a game, a stretch of a season, or even an entire season, really. But if we were trying to kind of pinpoint, like, okay, I'm talking about Joe Mauer. I'm going to show a highlight, or I want to talk about a specific period of time. For you, what would you consider Joe Mauer's most memorable moment of his career?
I think one of the things that might diminish his Hall of Fame case is you can't really point to a moment. You know, Joe Mauer was incredibly consistent, but he wasn't spectacular. You know, he didn't hit for a whole lot of power. You know, he didn't have a very extensive playoff resume. I mean, the Twins, face it, were pretty horrible during his entire career. And so he didn't have a chance to perform on that national TV stage in the playoffs. So I think for me, the most memorable thing for Joe Mauer is that entire 2009 season for me. Yes. I mean, for folks that play fantasy baseball, when he was able to unlock the power that he had that one season where his power numbers just shot up beyond anything else that he'd ever done before or would do since, to hit 28 home runs and then, you know, hit 365 on the season and an OPS over 1,000 for the only time in his career. I think that whole season, and again, there wasn't, you know, a big hitting streak or, you know, at least that I can remember, a clutch hit or home run or anything like that. It was basically Joe Mauer came to the ballpark, did his job, did it exceptionally well. And that season, at least, you know, put up numbers that you couldn't ignore. And neither could the MVP voters because he was voted the American League MVP that season.
Yeah, Steve, that's exactly what I have down here. So he wins that mm-hmm. MVP in 2009. He also wins the Gold Glove because he's a, right. a two-way guy here, had a very strong arm, wins Silver Slugger, and does not just lead catchers in the AL, but leads all players in the AL that season in batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS and OPS plus. As a catcher, I do not know if that's ever been done before. I doubt that's been done before. So he might be the only person to do that. And if you're just looking at all those numbers individually, for a catcher that's played at least 120 games in a season, that 365 batting average he had, that's the highest ever a catcher's ever had in a season. That 444 on base percentage is the second highest ever by a catcher in a season, only beat by Mickey Cochran all the way back in 1933.
Yeah.
And he had a 459 on base. And then his 171 OPS plus is the third highest ever by a catcher in a season, only Mike Piazza, who you would think with you know the home runs he hit, he ever achieved a higher one than 171. It's actually tied for third most with a Buster Posey season when Buster won the MVP. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about him and Buster in a second here. But yes, that season has to be called out because that's his calling card. He didn't play for a very long time, but that peak season, at least offensively, is one of, if not the best offensive season by a catcher in history. And I was even looking at like, I was like, how, like, am I being, you know, is that a hyperbole, right? Like Johnny Bench, we think it was his birthday yesterday, Johnny Bench. So he's on top of mind. And I was like, okay, well, Johnny Bench won the MVP award, right? His first one, I believe it was in 1970. And I went back to look at that season when Johnny Bench won that. And that was the season he had 45 home runs.
Okay.
148 RBIs, right? I look at that one and I'm amazed by it. But if I look at that season compared to Joe Mauer's season that year, you know, they have the same slugging percentage that year, even though Johnny Bench is slugging 148, you know, runs batted in. Mauer's OPS plus is 30 points higher than Bench's that year. His OPS is higher. His on base is almost 100 percentage points higher. His batting average is, you know, almost 70 percentage points higher. So across the board, his WAR's higher in 20 less games. And again, I think as Johnny Bench is one of the best, you know, best catchers of all time, if not the best.
Maybe so.
And Mauer at his peak had a better season than Bench there, which I don't know if that's Bench's best, but that was his first MVP year. That stands out a lot. And I think that speaks volumes. And honestly, Steve, that surprised me a bit when I went back to check the numbers.
Yeah. And a lot of times with catchers, I mean, they do hit home runs. I mean, that's kind of been the prototypical all-star catcher, right? The guys that sit back, you know, and slug and hit a bunch of home runs and drive in a lot of runs, the Benches, Piazzas, Ivan Rodriguez, and a lot of the great catchers were power hitters to some, you know, to some degree. And Joe Mauer was different. And he wasn't necessarily a power hitter, but that season he just unlocked everything. And, you know, you bring up the OPS plus. I mean, the Metrodome for a while was thought of as a place where it improved offense, but really it wasn't that great a place to hit. I mean, when you look at the, you know, the lighting and things like that, it was not a hitter's paradise. It was not a launching pad, but yet Joe Mauer was able to, you know, consistently put up OPS pluses over 100. I think every season in his entire career, except for one late in his career, were over 100. He was a plus offensive player at catcher without being a super slugger. And I think those numbers, especially in the 2009 season, bear that out.
And Steve, I don't know if you have an answer to this. This might be an unanswerable question, but we talk about, right, that power surge there. 28 home runs in that MVP season. Besides that season, his second best home run season is 13.
Mm-hmm.
And he only had a few other seasons where he even had double digits. What, like, what happened there? Like, do we know? Like, what was that?
I no explanation. It's just one of those things, you know. You look at now, I think when PEDs and everything come into the equation and people talk about, you know, well, what happened? You know, this guy hit, you know, Barry Bonds, for instance, you know, hit 73 home runs and he'd never hit more than 50 in any other season. You know, what's the explanation? Well, how many times have we seen, you know, Roger Maris, for instance, you know, hit 61 home runs and never hit, I think, more than 40 in any other season.
He had 39 in the season before.
And that, so, I mean, those kinds of seasons happen out of the blue sometimes. And to try and find an explanation for them, you're probably just grasping at straws in a lot of those times. It's a perfect confluence of events, and it worked out for him. I mean, you know, I can't say that maybe he just decided he wanted to hit for more power, because who wouldn't want to replicate that kind of a season? But I think things just fell into place for him with that team and everything else that was going on. There's really no other explanation that I can think of for why 2009 was such an outlier. But he was a good hitter, so it shouldn't surprise us by any means.
And I do want to bring up, before we move on, Sam, I want to bring up something you brought up at the beginning here, right? He doesn't have, we talk about this great season, and that's all great, but he doesn't have that postseason moment to hang his hat on, or a World Series mm-hmm. championship, you know, to his name. I mean, he never made it out of the divisional round. He never even made it, you know, to the championship series. And if you look at, you know, he played in the ALDS in 2006, 2009, and 2010, and not only did he not get out of the series, Steve, he never won a game. Yeah. He was 0-10 in the playoffs for his career. He batted .275 with one extra base hit during his entire postseason career. And I was talking about Kirby Puckett earlier, right? And another guy with a very short career, but he won two World Series in Minnesota, and he had mm-hmm. big moments. He batted .308 in the World Series over 14 games. He won ALCS MVP in 1991 when he batted .429 that year. So Puckett has, you know, he has that short career, but he has those all-time moments where we point to him and we can envision Kirby Puckett in our head yeah. hitting that home run. Like, we know what uniform he's wearing and what mm-hmm. happened there. And that really boosts his candidacy. And for someone with a shorter career, sometimes you need that. The Sandy Koufax is the short career, but you know, two World Series MVPs and all, like
the no hitters, everything like that.
Exactly. But Joe Pop Bauer does have that peak, but he doesn't have those playoff moments. And Steve, as a voter, as a Hall of Fame voter, like, again, when I talk to basketball Hall of Fame voters, the playoffs mean everything to them. Yeah. We mm-hmm. talk to NFL Hall of Fame or Pro Football Hall of Fame voters, especially when it comes to quarterback, postseason means everything for the quarterbacks. Baseball, I talked to some voters, they really care about postseason. Others, it's something they look at, but if they don't have it, it's fine. There's a lot of players on that field. A lot of things need to go right. For you, Steve, as a voter, how do you look at postseason? What does that mean to you? How much does Joe's lack of success there, how much does that matter to you?
Well, I'll tell you, it seems like, to me, the player's regular season career is the bedrock of their case. And if they do things in the postseason, I think that's kind of icing on the top. And if they do have that, maybe, and they're borderline, maybe that pushes them over the line. But I look at those seasons, you know, some of the postseason awards, where they finished in terms of in the stats and that type of thing. So I don't hold it against a player because his team wasn't good enough to make the postseason. But if his team was good enough to make the postseason and he contributed to their success in the postseason, I think that gives them additional weight. So I'm not holding it against Joe Mauer. You know, you can't hold it against Ernie Banks, you know, and players who in the past. I think one of the things too is, as the playoffs expand and we have more teams in the playoffs, more players are going to get opportunities to make those kinds of memories. So, you know, and the Twins and Joe Mauer were in the divisional, you know, era. So they had an opportunity to win their division. They get to play in the postseason. But, you know, it's been a problem for the Twins for a long time, getting at least, you know, one win in a postseason series, which they finally did, but they didn't get, you know, they didn't win the series in advance. And so Mauer was just part of that, you know, part of that run of awful luck. And the Twins just weren't as good a team as some of the others that they were facing. But no, to answer your question, I don't hold it against players, but certainly if they shine in the postseason, that adds to you know, fame is what we're talking about, and it certainly adds to their fame total.
All right, Steve, let's move to our next song. Here we call this "And Twins." And Steve, what we do here is we look at the Hall of Fame today. We look at Cooperstown today. We think all the plaques in there. And there's never a perfect twin. But if I forced you to say, hey, this player reminds me of Joe Mauer, either statistically or how they played the game of baseball, or maybe a little mix of both. I think that's the sweet spot there. But If you had to call a twin out in Cooperstown today for Joe Mauer, who would it be?
Well, I think you mentioned Mickey Cochran a little earlier, and you know, he was another guy who was good on base percentage, a two-time MVP, so he was very valuable to his team and his team's success. And in looking at some of the comps in Baseball Reference, Mickey Cochran does come up right in kind of the peak of Joe Mauer's career, but a lot of people not very familiar with Mickey Cochran. An interesting thing, and it's not an exact comparison, but I was watching the George Brett documentary that aired on and premiered on MLB Network just the other night. And, you know, George Brett both really sweet left-handed swings. George Brett had a little bit more power, I think, but, you know, winning batting titles, team was good, but a lot of times wasn't good enough. And George Brett, you know, was a fantastic hitter, a pure hitter, a guy who knew the strike zone. And, you know, when thinking about Joe Mauer and having a little bit of recency bias in watching that documentary, I felt there's a little bit of George Brett in him. And so that might be a bit of a stretch, but to bring it to somebody that maybe your listeners know a little bit better than Mickey Cochran, I think that, you know, if we talk about non-Cooperstown inducted, then I think we've made a little bit of a reference to a player who does kind of parallel Joe Mauer a little bit. I'll let you take it from there if you see where I'm going.
Yeah, so let's do this. We're gonna do this at some point, but I believe in Steve. If you're not talking about this, we could save this part for later too. But talk about Buster Posey, correct?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
So let's do this conversation now. Okay. Because I'm curious your thoughts here. So Buster Posey and Joe Mauer obviously overlap quite a bit in terms of their playing career, with, you know, Buster kind of coming in and I would say taking the mantle away from Mauer as the best overall catcher in the league. Mm-hmm. Once Mauer, you know, started kind of, you know, shifting to first after 2013. But Posey had his own kind of injuries as well. And he had a very short career. Actually, and if you're looking at counting numbers, they're not really the same. But the thing with Posey versus Mauer is I try to look at them as a catcher. Mauer's first 10 years at catcher before he shifted to first base, and Posey's first year 10 years at catchers. Now, they both win MVP awards, and their MVP years look very, very similar. And if you look at their first 10 years in the league, they both make the same amount of All-Star games. They both win an MVP. Mauer wins one
batting
more
title.
Mauer wins one more Silver Slugger. Mauer wins two more batting titles, but Posey does win one.
Right.
And then Mauer wins two more Gold Gloves than Posey. But I think they're pretty similar as catchers defensively. And if you look at that first 10 years, they're only separated by about 30 games played. So it's almost the exact same games played. Mauer beats Posey in every batting category except home runs, and he has one less RBI than Posey. Batting average, Mauer, 10 years as a catcher, .323 batting average, which is insane.
Nuts.
A 405 on base percentage, a .468 slugging, an .873 OPS, and a .135 OPS plus. Posey's, again, excellent. .306 batting average, .375 on base, .465 slug, .840 OPS, and .132 OPS plus. So very, very similar hitters here. And defensively, we could maybe call it a wash in war. They're very, like, Joe Mauer, those first 10 years, 44.6 WAR. Posey, 40.6. The big thing, though, outside of batting titles, which, again, Mauer had three, Posey had one, is, of course, championships.
Right.
Posey has three. Mauer, of course, we just talked about it, never even sniffs the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what I wanted to ask you, Steve. I've done a Buster Posey episode already, and I might have done my most controversial episode ever, because at least right now, and maybe I need, you know, we have a wait, right? So you can get away from the career and think about
right.
it.
Right.
But I did a Buster Posey episode, and I said no for Posey. I thought his counting numbers were, you know, his 1,500 hits. Yes, he won those World Series, and yes, he maintained that pitching staff, but he didn't really shine in those playoff series. If you look at his numbers, they're actually pretty low. And I just didn't think his career, a 44.8 career WAR, not even 5,000 career at bats. I thought he had an excellent career, but to me, a 12-year career was too short, and I had a no for him. However, Steve, when he retired, everything I read and a number of people I talked to made me feel crazy, because they were almost already giving him a plaque.
Yeah.
They're talking that he's a no doubt, you know, face of three World Series champions, MVP. I feel like Posey is this automatic first ballot guy to many people. And I think Posey's going to get in. I think I said it in the pod. I think he's going to get in. I just don't know if I feel like he should get in. So I look at Posey's numbers and I look at Mauer, and I feel like Mauer, outside of the World Series, which we talked about, you know, they're icing on the cake, but maybe shouldn't build the case around.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Steve, both Posey's this slam dunk to a lot of people. Mauer, a lot of people are very on the fence. I don't get it, I guess. I really don't get it. I think at their peaks as a catcher, and again, Mauer played catcher for 10 years. Posey's career was 12 years. It's the same kind of thing. What am I missing here? Do you feel like Posey's this slam dunk over Mauer? What did Posey have that Mauer didn't?
No, I don't feel like it's a slam dunk. And I think the thing is, you know, is that Posey was one of those players that you always, it's like they were always there. And with the Giants being in the playoffs and being in three World Series in 5 years and winning all three of them, you know, he was a major part of those teams. And that sort of success translates into national recognition. And, you know, you hear the commentators, you know, Joe Buck and whomever else, John Smoltz or Tim McCarver or whoever, talking about, you know, what a great player Buster Posey is and what an integral part of that team. And he certainly was. But more people are able to hear that, whereas Joe Mauer, was the regular season was over and maybe the first round of the playoffs was over and you never heard any more about Joe Mauer when all the attention was focused on baseball. And I think that's one of the things. You bring up a great point. Buster Posey with 1,500 career hits, that's a pretty short career when you look at it. Joe Mauer, 2,123 hits. So over that 2,000 mark, that's when, you know, to me, that's a significant difference between the two. And, you know, they both got on base. So, I mean, it's not a difference between, you know, plate appearances versus at bats or anything like that. So I think you're right. Posey gets a lot of the attention, and maybe it's because he's just retired. And Joe Mauer has been out of the game for 5 years, you know, that mandatory period. And now he's coming on to the Hall of Fame ballot. We have to kind of reequate ourselves with just how good Joe Mauer was in his career. And you look at that, slash line, a career batting average over 300 at 308, you know, and at 388 career on base percentage, you know, that's fantastic. And he didn't strike out a whole lot, was, you know, and was a great hitter, but just didn't get a lot of the credit, that, you know, teams and players that advance deeper into October got.
So, Steve, we're going to talk about Posey in court as well, because I want to talk about Posey, Molina, as well as Maurer, because those are kind of the three catchers of the air. But before we do, two other quick names I want to just throw out for my listeners. One kind of falls in the Mickey Cochran kind of category of, hey, if you're a huge baseball fan, you know who I'm going to say here. If you don't, just bear with me for a few seconds, but I want to bring him up. Ernie Lombardi, who played in the 30s and 40s. He is the only other catcher besides Joe Maurer to win more than one batting title. So Ernie Lombardi won two batting titles, back in the 30s. He also was an MVP. He's a guy who, you know, if you look at his counting numbers, he played 17 years in the bigs, but, you know, his WAR totals way below a Maurer. His, you know, hits totals below Maurer. He didn't have a big pop in his bat, but he was a career 306 hitter like Maurer. So the two batting titles, like you brought up the three batting titles, and maybe we're not talking about it enough, but Joe Maurer is the only AL catcher to ever win a batting title, let alone three.
Wow.
He's the only catcher to win three. He's one of two catchers with Ernie here to have two. And the only other catchers to win, to my knowledge, is Buster Posey, who we just talked about at length, who won in 2012. And then this is someone outside of even my baseball history, Steve. So let's see if you know this name. Bubbles Hargrave, 1926, won the batting title. Do you know Bubbles? I do not know who that is.
No. Bubbles escapes me, okay. I'm sorry to say.
So, yeah. So Maurer is just – there's only been seven batting titles won by a catcher ever. Maurer has three of the seven. So I think I shortchanged him maybe a little bit that at one point. Like, probably should call that. It's kind of a big deal.
Absolutely. And you know, I think batting titles certainly may have lost a little bit of a luster as they get more and more stats. But still, it's important. And it does show how much, how good of a hitter he was, how successful a hitter he was. And to be able to do that and play defense the way that he did, three gold gloves and the other thing too, he didn't win more because he was up against Pudge Rodriguez for a lot of those years too. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty hard to win a gold glove when you've got Pudge as your competition. So that's those are some very good points.
All right, Steve, let's go to our final segment. We call this Court.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
And what we do is what we've been doing kind of throughout this already. You know, we're talking about things that work for Maurer, things against Maurer. But the first thing I want to talk about, we've danced around it a bit, but I just talked about Posey and the lack of games played and all of that. And I think the big thing that get people hung up on Joe Maurer, or it's just getting brought up a lot when it comes to Joe Maurer, is, you know, he didn't catch that many games. And that's something that, you know, you can't really neglect here when talking about, like, we talk about Joe Maurer as a catcher. And again, his first 10 years as a catcher, I think, can go up against most catchers in terms of all of his numbers. But then he got a concussion and he never played again after 2013 at catcher. Besides, I think he caught like a ceremonial first pitch his last game. But Joe Maurer didn't catch over 1,000 games behind the plate. He caught 921 games during his career, which is 154th in MLB history. Mm-hmm. The only catcher in the Hall of Fame today with less appearances behind the plate was Buck Ewing, who played in the 19th century when you were playing all kinds of positions. So basically no even close to modern catcher has caught less than what Maurer has at 921 games. He also only caught over 100 games in a season five times during his career. And even if you look at someone like, I think of Roy Campanella, right, as having a super short MLB career, mm-hmm. partly, right, the color barrier, he didn't get into the league until he was 26. And then, of course, he was done by 35. But even Campanella caught 1,183 games compared to Joe Maurer's 921. So even someone like Campanella, very short career, caught more than Maurer. So he has that remarkable stretch as a catcher, but then, you know, he finishes career at first base for those last 5 years, plays very good first base. But we're looking at someone who, again, played less than 1,000 games at catcher, less than 50%, I'm sorry, that was a whole different thing, but I guess 10 years at catcher, 5 years at first base. Steve, do you, obviously, we look at him as a catcher, right? His career, he was a catcher.
Right.
Does this matter to you that he played those last 5 years at first base? Do you hold this against him that, yes, we're comparing him against catchers, but when you only catch, you know, he played 603 games at first base, DH 310 games. He actually only caught 49.51% of his games for his career. So not even half, technically.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Posey, caught 80% of his games for his career. Molina, 98% of his games, right? You look at those old catchers, I'm sure it's in the 90s too, like Molina. How much does this matter to you, Steve? Because it seems to matter to a lot of people out there.
Yeah, I don't think it matters as much to me because here's the thing. The Twins knew that injuries were an issue for him, and keeping him healthy was paramount because he was such a good hitter. So they needed to get him in the – and we don't have any problem with catchers DHing. You know, it's like, well, they need some time. They need a day off. So if you split, you know, your season between catcher and DH, not a big deal. I don't know what the problem is then. The years, especially 2011, 12, and 13, when he was catching some days and playing first base other days, I don't see that as a really big deal. I mean, it's a way of keeping him in the lineup because his bat is good enough to be there, but giving him a break from, you know, whatever could go on behind the plate. I mean, there are so many things. Catchers take such a beating. You'd be silly to put your best player back there, you know, every single day and run the risk every day of having an injury. And so I think Maurer established himself as a very, very good defensive catcher. You know, we talk again about those, you know, Gold Gloves three times and was still at a very high level for that decade period. And then as he transitions, plays first base. And as you mentioned, a pretty good first baseman defensively too, that, you know, he's still helping his team. I don't hold that against him. And I see, you know, I see Joe Maurer as a very well-rounded player, 5 silver sluggers at catcher on offense, 3 Gold Gloves, as we said, on defense. You got to have that player in your lineup. And the best way to keep him there is to give him a break from catching every so often. And I think the Twins recognize that, especially after the concussion. You know, you can't take that chance. So in terms of what the Twins did in deploying him, I think that's perfectly understandable. And in terms of games caught, I think he established how good of a catcher he was. I don't think he needed to prove it later on in his career when the injury risk was higher.
So if Maurer would have, in 2013, when he played his last season catcher, 2014, because he played first base, if he would have just retired after that 2013 season, never went to go play first base, he would have retired with a .323 batting average, a .405 on base, a .135 OPS plus. He would have had the highest batting average ever by a catcher in MLB history, the second highest on base percentage ever by a catcher in MLB history, and the third best OPS and OPS plus by a catcher in MLB history, by a catcher if he would have retired after that 2013 season. Again, he goes on to play 5 more games at third base or at first base, and over that span, he only bats .278 with a .359 on base. So not terrible, but obviously not what he was doing before. My question to you, Steve, is, would Joe Maurer's, as silly as this might sound, would Joe Maurer's candidacy look better if he would have just retired after that concussion, be like, I can't play anymore, you know, my vision's blurry, I'm done. If he doesn't play those last 5 years, is he better off if he just retires in 2013 as maybe the best hitting by slash line catcher of all time?
I would hate to think that that would be true, but you know, there's probably a bit of truth to that, of going out on top and being, you know, well, what could have been, I think people might tend to kind of fill in the blanks themselves and project, oh, well, he would have, you know, he could have had five more years of great productivity behind the plate. So it's a tricky thing to think about. But again, it also helped him build a case for longevity and getting over that 2000 hit mark, which I think is something that Buster Posey may have some difficulty overcoming. And for that reason, I mean, you have to say that it's probably a good thing that he continued to play. I don't know if it would have made him more of a Hall of Famer or given him a better case had he retired for health reasons at that point. But I still feel like the career resume as it stands, even with those years at first base, is pretty darn solid.
All right. So I said I was going to bring this up later, and I'm going to bring it up now. So when we're talking about catchers right now, Maurer's the first of these guys to get on the ballot, but these next two are going to follow very soon. And that's Yadier Molina and Buster Posey, who we talked about already. Mm-hmm. So I feel like in the last, 20 or so years, these are the catchers. Salvador Perez, love him. I just think he's maybe a step down below these guys. So if we're talking just Yadier, Buster, and Joe, and if I'm looking at their numbers, Maurer has the highest career WAR and the highest career batting average and on base percentage. Buster has, slugging, OPS and OPS plus on those out of these three. And then Molina has most of the counting stats, even though Maurer almost has as many hits as Molina, mm-hmm. just because Molina caught so many games. If you look at all-star appearances, Molina has the other two championships. Posey is three, Molina is two, Maurer is zero. Batting titles, Maurer has three and Posey is one. Gold gloves, Molina has nine. Silver sluggers, Posey and Maurer actually both tied for five for their careers. And if you look at games caught, again, Molina caught 2,184 games. Posey caught 1,093 games. Maurer hit or caught 920 games. So these guys could all potentially be on the ballot at the same time, depending on how long each of them stay on the ballot, et cetera, et cetera. Steve, if I forced you today to rank these three individuals, one through three, in terms of, again, just who you would vote for the Hall of Fame first. So if someone was like, hey, Steve, only one of these guys can ever get in. We're only going to put one of these guys in ever. Or, hey, we're only going to be able to put two of these guys in ever. That's how you're ranking them. How do you rank them one through three? Yadier, Joe Maurer, Buster Posey.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I think Molina's case is almost exclusively built on defense. He was an incredible defensive player, but not so much on offense. Buster Posey, meanwhile, probably has the edge on all of them when it comes to, as you were mentioning, the slash lines and the OPS plus and stuff like that. But I think for all around play, I believe I would have Maurer as number one, maybe Molina for his defense and things that you can't really quantify, maybe him as number two, and then Posey as three, just because his career was shorter than either of the other two. So you've got a variety of types of players in that trio, but in terms of the one player who was the most well-rounded and the best at both aspects, offensively and defensively, despite the fact that he had no championships, I think I would put Joe Maurer first on that list.
I think, Steve, you just made a lot of Cardinals fans very angry.
I'm sure.
But but no.
It's not the first time, I'll tell you that.
I have trouble with these three, to be honest. And I go back and forth all the time. But the last thing I was going to get to here, because I mentioned WAR and based on Baseball Reference WAR, Maurer is almost what, 5 or 10 wins ahead of Posey and 13 ahead of Molina here, despite, you know, playing in a lot fewer games than Molina. He played more than Posey. But if you're looking at advanced metrics, this is where I think Maurer shines the most, even with a shorter career. He's ninth among all catchers in MLB history in total war. If you look at his like top seven seasons, so his peak, and we talked about how good his peak is, there's only four players ahead of him: Gary Carter, Johnny Bench, Mike Piazza, and Pudge Rodriguez. Yogi Berra is behind him. Carlton Fisk is behind him. Buster Posey, Roy Campanella, Ted Simmons, all these guys be way behind him. And if you look at Jaws, which again kind of combines both, best of both worlds, Maurer's seventh all time among catchers. So he's easily a top 10 guy if you're looking at advanced metrics. And I know you and I have talked about this before, but you know, I know, Steve, you take this all very seriously, as you should, and you look at everything. But how much do you look at advanced metrics like WAR, Jaws, top 7 years? Is this a big part of your kind of sit-down formula that you kind of take into consideration? Is it a nice to have? Where do you stand on? Because again, these numbers, I feel like, show Joe Maurer is 100% a Hall of Famer if you only lived and died by these numbers, which I don't think most voters do, even the younger ones. I think it's just a piece of the puzzle. But how much does this matter to you? Because if this mattered a ton, I mean, this is almost a clear like path of how could you not elect this guy the first time around?
Yeah, I do like to take all of the, you know, the advanced metrics into consideration because it helps you compare players of different eras. And I always say, you know, I want to compare guys with the players of their own era, but then being able to see how they fit in that historical context is super helpful when you've got, you think you have a pretty good idea of how a player, you know, falls in terms of his peers. You could have a time where, you know, just a great period for catchers, you know, and I think that's part of how, you know, we get the Poseys and the Molinas into this sort of conversation. I mean, there have been some really, really good catchers come along in the last 20 years. And I think being able to put it into that historical context where you look at, you know, the Piazzas and the Gary Carters and say, oh, wow, well, you know, those numbers try and equalize everything that's going on. And yeah, he's a lot better than I thought. I think that's what it helps do, is it helps open your eyes sometimes to how good a player is when you may not recognize that. And it takes all of those factors into consideration. So yes, I do look at that a lot. I like the idea of Jaws and taking, you know, what a player's peak of his career was. And because I think that's a big part of it too, in terms of when those players, you know, how much of a difference they make is a big part of their Hall of Fame case. And certainly, you know, it does open your eyes to how historically good Joe Maurer was when he was on the field.
All right, Steve. So final verdict. I ask you two questions and then I answer the same after you. The first question is, do you believe Joe Maurer should be in the Hall of Fame? Would you vote Joe Maurer into the Hall of Fame? And then my second question to you is, do you think Joe Maurer is going to get into the Hall of Fame? Do you think he ends up in Cooperstown?
Well, for the first part, and I have not turned my ballot in yet, so that's the caveat. But right now, as you and I talk today, Joe Maurer is going to get a check mark from me. I do feel like that he was one of the best players at catcher in his era. Historically, he was one of the best catchers in baseball history. And, you know, even though he doesn't have the postseason resume and doesn't have the super lengthy career, I think what he did accomplish showed that he is worthy of Hall of Fame induction. So at this point, unless there are 11 candidates or more on the ballot that I feel are more deserving, then Joe Maurer is going to get my vote when I turn it in later on this month. As for do I think he gets in? I think there's enough of a question and the baseball writers have not been of one mind for quite a while now, it seems like. But after we've gotten a lot of the controversial, the Bonzes and the Clemens have gone off the ballot, it gives an opportunity to maybe consider a lot more players as possible Hall of Famers and getting in. I don't know that Joe Mauer will get in on the first ballot. I think there's enough ambivalence, maybe is not the right word. I think more voters might be unsure about exactly how far or how close he gets to that standard. But I feel like in the years to come, when we start comparing, if for instance, as we were talking about, Posey gets on the ballot, Yadier Molina gets on the ballot, and we start looking at them compared to each other, I think it makes Buster Posey's case or Joe Mauer's case a lot better and a lot stronger. I think he will eventually get in. It may not be this year. It may not be next year. But I do think that eventually we'll see a plaque for Joe Mauer in Cooperstown.
So to answer the first question, I also think Joe Mauer should be in the Hall of Fame. Again, as I looked more and more into this, because I was a little uncertain going into this, Steven, the more I looked into it, and historically, again, he had some of the better hitting seasons we've ever seen at the catcher position. And yes, he didn't play there his entire career, but that stretch was about one of the best stretches we've seen. And the fact he was well above average defensively, actually, we didn't really talk about how strong his arm was, but led the AL in runners or percentage of runners thrown out twice. Mm-hmm. And in his top 10 all time in fielding percentage and a lot of the other advanced metrics, he rates very high. He was an excellent catcher defensively, as well as being one of the better offensively. And he did play longer, and we talked about did that hurt him. But that did get him over 2,000 hits, which I know for catchers, people don't get hung up as much. Especially with Buster Posey right now, it seems like no one's going to care anymore. But that was a big thing. That's always been like at least a bar you have to cross, that 2,000 hit bar. And he was able to cross that by extending his career by playing first base. When I look at his peak, there's not too many people compared to him. So I do think he should get in. That 2009 season is super shiny and is something I would always point to. And the fact that he has 3 of the 7 batting titles all time by a catcher is kind of silly. Like, how could you not put that guy in?
Right.
It's just so like, it's such an outlier. Do I think he'll get in? I almost have the same answer for you. I do. I think it'll be like year 3 or 4 though. I don't think he's getting in this year or next year. I think people are hung up on the catching and how many games he actually caught. But I just think the peak was too great to kind of overlook it. And if you look at some of those other players that had those shorter peaks and then just retired, it's kind of, some of them even had shorter career peaks. Like, again, I don't want to compare Joe Mauer to Koufax because I think that's silly. It's different positions. And Koufax is one of the greatest pitchers of all time when he was there. Mm-hmm. I don't think Mauer is quite there. But Koufax, that was only, 4 or 5 seasons he did that. And the rest of his career is pretty mediocre. Mauer really did have 9-10 seasons of peak baseball here at the catching position. Catchers are also overlooked by the Hall of the Time. So I do think he'll get in. It'll just take 3 to 4 years, as you said, too. So we are agreeing on both fronts here, Steve, which I'd have to go back and listen to some of our old ones because I think we disagreed quite a bit earlier on. And it was making me laugh as I was like, what are all the episodes Steve and I did? I don't think if this bodes well for Joe Mauer, but we have actually never done someone that's ended up getting in. We did Jeff Kent, Curt Schilling, Manny Ramirez, Carlos Beltran. They are all on the outside looking in right now. So Joe Mauer, hopefully it's not some sort of like Madden curse we're throwing on him or SI cover curse, but he is the 5th one we've done. I think he has a great case. And out of all those guys, maybe Beltran too, probably has the best chance of getting out of those other names. But Steve, I want to thank you for coming on for the 5th time. And again, the 4th consecutive year, this is now a tradition. I told you, I'm going to force you to come on here now once a year when you get your ballot so we can talk about a player. Always enjoy you having on. Before we get you out of here, anything quickly you want to plug here at the end?
You can follow me on X, formerly Twitter, at Steve A. Gardner. Look for me. I never know where I'll show up on usatoday.com. There's always something interesting baseball related in the works. So you can look for me there or in the pages of USA Today on your newsstands if you're into the print edition kind of thing. Looking forward to this, you know, coverage of the hot stove and where all the free agents sign and going ahead to next season. Should be a super fun year in baseball, as it always is. So just looking forward to whatever is around the corner and being able to write about it.
Yeah, spring training will be here before we know it. Pitchers and catchers now, 2 months from reporting. So it is almost baseball season. A Cubs fan that had a much better season than we thought. We are very excited over here. As long as we can sign some kind of free agent, because right now it's not looking too great anymore. But Steve, we always love having you on. We look forward to next year. And again, I think between now and next year, I'm going to have to figure out some kind of five-timer swag I need to create to be able to send around to the few that have joined at least five times since you are now a member. But thank you for coming on again and have a great weekend. Good luck with the rest of your ballot.
Thank you very much, Jim. Always a pleasure to talk baseball with you. Love it every year. So looking forward to doing another 5 years.
All right. I want to thank Steve again for coming on the podcast. Talk about Joe Mauer. That is all we have for you today. If you don't already, please subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Pod of Fame. If you've done both those things, you've done your homework. We will be with you on Friday for a Hall of Fame Market Watch episode. So have a great week, and we will talk to you Friday. Take care.